Hey everybody, I'm Will from Venture to Rome. Welcome to the channel. Today, I'm talking with one of my best buddies out there in the overlanding creator, YouTube, Instagram, social media world, Jason Fletcher from All Things Overlanding. We have done a couple conversations like this. We're having a good time. And so we thought we'd post one on his channel, post one on mine, and just experiment a little bit. So thanks for coming on the channel.
Yeah, sure. Thanks for having me.
All right. So today we're going to talk about gear that we don't use anymore. And I know you and I have been through a lot of gear. Yes. So we're going to talk about stuff that we don't use anymore. And then we are going to mention like our favorite pieces of gear at the moment. So, yeah. All right, let's get into it. So what is a piece of gear that you have, Fletch, that you have that you don't use anymore?
Yeah. So a fairly recent change was, so I was a hammock camper for a really long time, tried the tent thing with cots and all that, finally went to a rooftop tent last September, I would say, and loved it. Just, I'm a rooftop tent person. You know, there are different people. Some people aren't rooftop tent people. Some people are. For me, it's a storage thing. It's just nice to get that stuff out of the truck. And I love my old rooftop tent, but I recently got a really super fancy rooftop tent to replace it. That's way higher quality, a little bit bigger, has some built-in power stuff like lights and things like that. And I mean, that's now the old rooftop tent is going away and the new rooftop tent has taken its place and will never leave the top of my truck. I'm super happy with it.
Wait, how many rooftop tents have you had?
Just the two.
The one
two
that you
so far.
It's been one you made yourself?
Oh, well, yeah, there's that one. So yeah, I did make a rooftop tent. Tried to. I won't say I made. I never completed the project. I started a do-it-yourself rooftop tent, but then realized I can't sew. Like it's just not a skill that I possess. And apparently my wife doesn't either, because we could not do it. Yeah. So then that's when I bought the last one, the previous one. And again, that one's been great. I spent like 30 nights in it in the last like 8 or 9 months, but then had the opportunity to pick up the new one, and man, it's just night and day. I mean, it's amazing. They're great, but this one's really great.
Well, that's one that you don't use and one that's your favorite right now. What kind of rooftop tent is it?
So the new one that I have is the Rugged Bound supply company. It's called the Slim. Most of them that they sell are called like the XL, and it's a little thicker, would hold more bedding. That's the only sort of downside of the one I have, is that it's really slim and it's a hard shell. Yeah. But that's kind of the difference. That's what made me switch. Was I loved my old rooftop tent, but it had a vinyl cover that you take completely off. It's not even one of those like a Smitty built that zips off and then hangs down the other side of the vehicle. It comes all the way off. So like, and I camp in the winter. Mm-hmm. So it's, you know, 10 degrees outside, your hands are freezing. You don't have the dexterity with gloves on. My hands are freezing. It took me 15, 20 minutes to tear down the tent every morning. So with this one, it's literally just a clamshell style, pop it open, you know, close it up, push the things in the side and latch it and you're done.
I'll tell you, I would love to get something like that. It's a little hard because I've got to have room for the four of us in the tent. If it were just me, I would love to have one of those clamshell pop-ups and, just, it seems like the ease of use is so high compared the soft shell design.
Well, just do what I do and put your kids on the ground in a ground tent. They'll be fine.
Yeah. Maybe when they're a little
bit old. You'll know when the bears get there.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. They're first line of defense.
Now Child Protective Services is coming to my house.
So. Yeah. Everybody heard you say that. The hundreds of people who are going to watch through that.
My kids are tough as a result. It's fine.
So one thing that I'm not using anymore is I bought a 12 volt sprayer.
Okay.
I bought this a couple years ago. I think I got it on Amazon. There's no brand name to share with you. It's just a 12 volt sprayer. I think I paid maybe $30 for it or something. And I thought, oh my God, this is awesome. Like, I'm going to have pressurized water at camp. I was really on this kick where I really wanted to have pressurized water at camp. And so I got this thing. And I remember I went on this trip with my knucklehead friends, and I kept saying like, hey, you guys, I have a sprayer. So if you need, like, if you need something, I have a sprayer, we can use the sprayer. Right. And by the end of the trip, they're like, Will, we know you have a sprayer. Stop saying that. We know.
That's awesome.
And I kept bringing it with me and bringing it with me for like a year and a half. I brought it with me on every trip. I'd sort of under the seat of my Jeep in the back seat and never used it. And and then realized, you know, the few times that I had used it, there's probably a lot of stagnant water in the hose. And so I'm not going to use it to like drink anything or dishes. And so the use case got smaller and smaller. So it's like, well, if I have dirty tires, But you know, I always have
to keep those tires clean when you're overlanding.
Spring off of camp. Yeah. So that's one that I definitely do not use anymore, but I still think it's cool. Like I still want to use it. I just don't have a use for it.
I feel like I see those things all the time and I've always been super excited to have that. And then like the heated shower thing.
Yeah.
I'm like, man, if I had that, it would be so cool, but I just can't justify the cost. Like I'll just get stinky and then I'll hit up a state park or something.
Yeah, well, so we actually, along those lines, I didn't put this on my list, but I can't say it's a favorite piece because we're still just kind of experimenting with it. But we got, it's called a geyser shower. And it's like two cylinders. One has the pump in it. One is a cylinder where you put the water and you heat up. We have a jet boil flash. So in like, 90 seconds, we boil however much water that is. Pour it in and then you fill the rest up just with normal like cold water it averages out to like 95 degrees or something like that.
Nice
warm water. But the thing that's interesting about it is it doesn't have a spray nozzle. It has a sponge and it has an adjustable pump and it just kind of like pulses water into the sponge, but it's nice warm water and you can shower on less than a liter of water. And so, so for us, water storage is a premium with our Jeep because we have two kids in the back seat and Jeep have no room to begin with. And so we tried this out on a trip. We were in a van, so we had more water storage. But we tried it out and it worked. It worked really great. It needs more experimenting because I couldn't get the water flow right. But that's the hot shower. I'm going to try it again this weekend. Yeah.
Yeah. That's awesome. Yeah, those things are nice. It's just too luxury for me.
It's a fine line. It's like there's this like debate. It's like, are you an overlander if you, if you XYZ? Are you truly off-roading if you
XYZ? I don't have a Scottle, for example. So no, I'm not.
You're definitely not. Yeah, no Scottle here either. all right. So what's something else that you're not using?
I mean, I went through probably four or five cooler iterations where I just refused to buy a fridge. Like I was like, for those of you that don't know me on Will's channel, like I'm really cheap. Like, and when I say cheap, I mean, like I have like bins full of used bolts and screws and stuff. Like I unscrewed stuff from my drawer system that I built and I was like, these screws are still good. And I kept them. That's how cheap I am. But then I'm also really stupid with my money. So like I bought like four different coolers, all cheap coolers, but then I went through a bunch of them. So I had like my first one was a Coleman Extreme cooler, which I actually still sing the praises of. It's one of my favorite coolers, but it's like a 70 quart.
Oh,
it's huge.
Yeah.
But you could put ice in that thing and it'll hold ice for like 3 to 4 days. And it was like $60. So it's a really good deal if you need a lot, but like, as we've kind of discovered here, like I go solo most of the time. So like I'd have like two steaks in it and like 12 beers and it's just everything sloshing around. It's just empty, filled with ice. Right. So I had that. And then I had like a smaller 20 liter Rotiform cooler that was really, really nice, but it wasn't quite big enough. And it would keep ice for like 3 or 4 days, but then I got to go find ice. And like, so I don't take super long trips, but even on like a 3 or 4 day trip, you still get to that point where you're like, do I eat canned goods the rest of the trip? Like, do I just plan to eat meat like the first 2 days and then switch? And so finally I was like, you know what? I just want a cheap fridge. And so my Alpacool that I've got is 58 quart. So it's pretty good size. Yeah. It'll hold a lot of stuff. And it's so nice. Like you want to talk about luxurious, like that's about as luxurious as my gear gets. Cause it's just like, I can pack it up, turn it on the day before, put beer in it, put Monster Energies in it, drink Coke Pops and waters and stuff, and then put all my food down on top and everything just stays cold. It's super nice.
Yeah. So, yeah. We definitely went from cooler to fridge. Cooler's not even on my list. I switched from a cooler so long ago. We went through a bevy of coolers too, but it's not even on my list of things I don't use anymore. But refrigerator is definitely on my list of things that I am super excited about that we use. We have an old Dometic CF35, not a CFX, so it's like the older model.
Again, there's
definitely things that I buy new that we just spend the money for.
Yeah.
I wasn't ready to drop $1,000 on a refrigerator. So I found one on Craigslist, a used one for like $350 or something, which still seemed very expensive compared to like a $40 cooler. So we got that a couple of years ago and it's been killer. I mean, it's just, it's small. And so we have to pack wisely. And we have to get it like when it's super full of stuff, we definitely run it the night before. So everything gets cold before we go. Yeah. But, it's been fantastic.
Yeah. Agreed. Totally agree. What's your next thing?
My next thing is, it's something that I don't use anymore and that I never have used. We bought it and we thought it would be great. And this is us trying to have a clean camp, car vacuum. We bought a 12 volt. I mean, that's like the idea.
It's pretty bougie.
Yeah. Well, yeah, but like we eat out of the back of our Jeep, you know, like it's more than just sense of being tidy. It's like this thing, we get a ton of dirt in our tent sometimes. Yeah. And it's hard to sweep it out because it's an annex from a rooftop tent. Yeah. And so it's got this big ledge on it and you kind of have to pick the whole thing up. Anyway, we're like, yes, we'll definitely do this. And then I just, when we're packing, I just keep not packing it because it takes up space. And I'm like, you know, maybe we should just get a brush. Yeah.
I have a dustpan and a brush and I feel really good about it. It was like $6.
Yeah.
Just exactly. You get some pine needles in your rooftop tent or something, and then you just boop and you're good.
Yeah, I was going to do a gear review on it. And I was like, I can't do a gear review on something that I've never used. Yeah. And I maybe never will. So yeah, that's mine. What about you? What's another one?
I would say probably the thing that I've had the most iterations of, that I've finally settled on a thing. I've had these for like 6 months now and I'm still using them, which is a long time for me, is chairs. So like, I mean, so I'm cheap again, right? So I only buy the cheapest stuff. So I bought like that Coleman director's chair. It's about $40-$45. You know, it doesn't fold down small at all. It's rigid, but it's got the little side table and it was really comfortable. Like it was a nice chair, but it just took up my whole back seat. It was huge. So then the stitching started to rip out of the bottom of that finally after like a year of use. And I was like, this is too big anyways. So then I was like, these Helinox chairs are really nice, but they're really expensive. So I bought the Chinese knockoff non-high back because it was cheaper, the little like bucket type aluminum seats. I'm like sitting like this, like I'm in a bowl, you know, at camp, and I'm like 4 inches off the ground and like everyone's looking down on me and I'm like, this is just not ideal either. And then I had a click chair, which I actually really like. The click chair,
those are expensive.
They're like $90. Yeah, so it was a little bit of money, but the thing, you know what that's great for, is like sporting events. Like if your kids have like a soccer game, you push a button and they go bloop and they just fold out and then you fold them back down. They're like the size of a big water bottle, basically. They're really nice for like quick deploy. Like if you need something to sit in for like an hour at a sporting event, and they're not actually that uncomfortable. They just aren't really high backed at all. So there's no like leaning back in them really. And because of the nature of them being like spring loaded, kind of like I lost a screw, like one of the little screws fell out of it at one point. So then it's like, I was like, is this going to collapse on me? Or I have no idea. Yeah. So then I finally ended up with these ones that I've got now, which are high back aluminum Chinese knockoff Helinox chairs that are like G4 free is the brand, but they have the high back, you know, they're really super comfortable. They'll lift like 300 pounds. So they'll hold my fat butt. but they're really comfortable. They take a little bit longer to set up and stuff. They're not like sporting event chairs, but for camping, once you get them set up, they're super comfy. They're higher off the ground. So I finally hit my point, and they're small enough. They store in my drawer system, actually. Like they're so small. They're probably about like the length of my forearm. That's about how long they are, and about that thick too. So,
is it the one where like the frame wraps in the?
It's like the central frame, and then everything else is like on little bungees and they pop into the little spots, but you just pop them all out, Velcro them, wrap the fabric around it, and then pop it in your thing and you're done.
Yeah, we have the same. We have the same. Ours we got from Costco. They were having a sale at Costco, and we picked them up. And we used to have kid chairs. Like we would have our chairs, and we have the kid chairs. Right. And then at one point, we're like, "There's a sale at Costco. Let's just buy four of the same chair." And I don't remember what the brand is. Honestly, it's like Cascade Tech or Cascadia Mountain or something like that. But they're so good. They have little headrest. I mean, I fall asleep in that chair all the time. Nice.
Costco, I've heard a lot of good things about Costco having like some pretty decent deals on like camping equipment from time to time.
It's like, oh my, you know, it's we don't shop there for our camping gear regularly. Right. It's like, oh, that looks, you know, it's worth trying because you can you get 10 of them. That's from Costco.
Right. So,
yeah.
That's awesome.
All right. So, let's see. The last thing that I don't use anymore.
Yeah.
And that I'm really sad about is honestly is my CV. I've got the Midland, what is it? It's like the MXT75-822 or something like that. It's this really sweet unit that is, it's a handheld and it's, and you can plug it in. It's like a convertible.
Nice. Yeah.
And I love CVs. I'm a total CV guy. I love having the big, huge antenna in the back flopping around, you know, just like everybody just a little staticky the whole time. Like I love that. But But we have taken so many runs where somebody has a CB problem. Sometimes it's me. We'd be in a convoy of like, you know, maybe five rigs, not a ton. Yep. And the person in the back can't hear the person in the front because the ring, it just sucks. And I know we've tried tuning them, all that. And so finally we just broke down and bought GMRS. So we bought the Midland
MXT275.
Yes. Yeah.
Cause yeah, you just that's
install.
What I have.
Yeah. Yeah. That's right. Yeah. We did an install on it too. Your install's better than ours. Because our install was done with Velcro tape. Yours is actually installed. Ours is just kind of like, it's like we put gum on the back of it and stuck it to the rig. But
as long as it stays, it's fine.
But we tested it. So we installed it. And my buddy Chris and I, we did this. We had the same CBs. We're like twinners. We had the same CBs and we bought the same GMRS and we took it out. Nice. And it was like the difference. It was so sad. It was like CBs are truly dead. Like the difference was so huge, so clear, so long with a little teeny crappy antenna. I mean, it just made me so sad because I love CBs, but I'll never go back. I'll never go back. I mean, I'll have one just in case. Like a handheld, but I'm never going back.
Yeah, no, I totally feel. I've had handheld Midland handhelds for like 2 years now, and on every trip, it's like 30-40% of people had GMRS, then everybody else had CB, so that was the dominant one. So most people, and I used to have a CB in mine too, and my favorite part of the CB was that I had a loudspeaker on the roof.
Oh yeah,
so you could flip it to the public address. And like, I would yell at people on their phones and stuff. And they'd be like looking around for a cop car and didn't see it and didn't realize it was me. And so that was fun. But I mean, for actual like trail comms and stuff, like even with my handhelds going to the Upper Peninsula last year, like another buddy had GMRS radios and like, I couldn't even see him and we were still talking. And I was just like, this is amazing. And they're handheld. So now with my mounted unit, I'm super excited for the future.
And that one, that particular model is great because it reminds me of the other Midland CB that we have. Yeah. And I got the model number wrong. I'll put the model number and links to this stuff in the description. But it's like that in that it's contained in the microphone. Like the mic has all the controls on it. So like,
that's nice.
So like I put mine in my center console, the whole thing in there, and I never take it out unless I'm on a trip. And then I can just pull that out. It's right there. It's nice. It's really smart design. And you know, Midland's been around for a long time. It's a great company and they make quality stuff. So, you know, it's been great.
It's true.
Okay. I do want to mention, let's see. I don't use CB. We talked about the GMRS, before I mention the last thing on my list that I love, what's on the last thing on your list that you, you're going to throw away?
Yeah. So, I mean, my thing is I have also had a number of iterations of like heating. Cause again, I go a lot in the winter. That's like, no one's out. You get a lot of privacy. It's amazing. No one's there. You get your pick of the campsites and everything. So I go in the winter a lot and I am cheap. So I was like, well, I don't want to spend $150-$200 on a diesel heater. I can get a buddy heater. It was on sale for like $60-$70. And I was like, oh, I'll get a buddy heater. It'd be fine. And then I put that thing in my tent with like a 20 pound tank one time. And I'm like, there's no way. Yeah. I was like, well, because like I'd heard that it burns through fuel really fast. Yeah, right. Yeah, so I was like, I'm not doing a 1 pound tank and waking up at 2 a.m. freezing to death, you know, and swapping out these tanks. And I had a 20 pound sitting around. So I'm like, I'll take that. And I put that in my tent. And then I was like, I am going to literally die in that. Like if I turn this thing on and fall asleep,
yes,
my whole tent is going to just magically combust with me in it, and I'm going to die. So, like, I literally brought it into the tent like 2 different times, and then I never turned it on. I was like, I don't want all the condensation. I don't want to die. So then I went through a number of different things. Like, chemical hot hands are a great solution for me. They're super inexpensive.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
they last for a long time. They're great.
You just, like, throw them in your sleeping bag? Like
yeah.
Yeah,
just take a couple of them. I put like some down by my feet, one up by my like midsection, one up on my like. Sometimes I'll just hold one and sleep like a mummy, you know, with it on my chest. Just let it circulate my blood, you know. But really, what I've gone to now is like I'll do one or two of those hot hands. But if it's really cold, I have a little 300 amp hour portable generator battery, like rechargeable battery, lithium deal, and a heated blanket, a 12 volt heated blanket.
Wow.
And like that thing will go, I've tested it about 6-7 hours on that. So like what I'll do is I'll turn it on for a half hour before I fall asleep, turn it off and have it over me. Like I usually do 0 degree bag, wool blanket. And then like, usually what I've been doing is putting the heated blanket in between the wool blanket and the sleeping bag.
Yeah.
But again, turn it on to heat myself up, fall asleep. And then if I wake up in the middle of the night and I'm cold, I just hit the button. I just turn it on.
Does it time out or something? Like, does it's on for like a half an hour and then it turns off or something? Or
no, this is a really cheap one. So it just like goes until it, so the only time it kicks off is if it like, if it's hits the, whatever the limiter is on the portable generator, which has happened a couple of times where it'll start pulling like 50, 60 watts and just, boom, it'll just kill it. It'll be like, no, I can't do that. Sorry. And it'll shut off. But I mean, like sometimes it'll run for like 3-4 hours in a row. Sometimes it runs for like an hour and shuts itself off. So I've used it probably 5 or 6 times, and I've only maybe like twice woken up in the middle of the night freezing and had to like turn it back on.
Huh.
So it's not too bad.
So assuming it doesn't like break a circuit or something.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't regulate its voltage. It'll last you all night or most of the night?
Yeah. So, I mean, again, well, so with the hot hands, like it's kind of a combo deal, right? I'll throw the hot hands in. I have those. I use it to just like get warm when I first get, you know, when it's like 0 degrees and you get in, you're cold. So like, I want to get warm, and then my sort of the hot hands and my body temperature will take over from there. But then I shut it off before I go to sleep. But then if I wake up 2-3 a.m. and it's like really cold, then yeah, I'll just turn it on and let it go till I wake up the next morning, 7-8 o'clock. Good to go.
I that's a great idea.
It's not bad.
I did one winter camping trip. I've only done one like true winter camping trip. And we made a video about it, and it's like, we made it one night. It was really cold. I mean, it's been colder in other videos, I'm sure. It was like, you know, down to 12 degrees or something Fahrenheit. So it was cold, and I had we don't have 0 degree sleeping bags. There's 17 degree sleeping bags. So I had my 17 degree sleeping bag inside of Kate's 17 degree sleeping bag with a liner in it, and then two puffer blankets and a wool blanket on top of that. And I was warm.
I would imagine.
It took a 17 layers, but I was just sounds cozy all night.
Well, I don't think people realize like the difference between 0 degrees and like 10 degrees, or the difference between 10 degrees and like 25 degrees, you know, like people that are like, yeah, I got down in the 30s here. Like that's, you could sleep in a 0 degree bag and that's it comfortably.
Yeah.
In 30. Yeah. But like, so like when I went to the Moore Expo in February, our plan was to camp, but we were in Missouri in February of this 2021, and it was like negative 10 degrees.
Yeah. Oof.
And like, I mean, we got a hotel. Like we were like, we were pretty prepared for like 10s, 15s, you know?
Yeah.
And like, I was just like, it's going to be so miserable. Like even sitting around a fire with gloves on and a hat, like you're just, it's not even going to be fun.
Yeah.
You know, like that's cold stuff.
Yeah. There are people out there who do it and they love it. Yeah. And I get it. I get the remoteness. I love that piece of it. Yeah. There's nobody around.
If you had an awning with a wall system and like a propane fire pit, you'd be fine.
Yeah.
But if you're like sitting around a campfire and it's blowing and it's 5 degrees, like that's cold stuff.
It's brutal. And it's like relentless. You know, there's like, no, you can't like warm up from it. You can't like go find a warm spot. It's just relentlessly cold. Okay. What is something outside of your electric blanket, your cheap electric blanket that you're really loving right now?
Loving the most right now. That is a good question. I would say probably, I mean, I love my drawer system, but that's a whole nother thing. I think the piece of gear that I'm loving right now is I did get one of those. It's called a Portal is the brand that I've got, but it's one of those like aluminum rollout sort of top tables.
Oh, so yeah.
I've always been really short on like prep space and stuff because I have a drawer system, but it's like the fridge is on top of it and then like a stove comes out of the side, but I don't have anywhere to put anything. So for last Christmas, actually, I got a 4x3 or 4x2 table.
Yeah.
And so it's a good size table. And it's just so nice. Like I can literally take all my stuff out, set it up under my awning, leave it there overnight and stuff. And just, it's so nice. So I'd say that's probably one of my favorite right now.
It's amazing. It folds up into a little bag and
It's in a bag. It's probably about 3-4, it's about 4 feet long. So it's about as long as it is long. Yeah. But it folds down pretty, it'll fit in my back seat on the floorboards.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's about perfect.
We have something like that too. And it was one of the most useful additions. Yeah. I mean, we never live without it ever. Because we find a way to use it. Yeah, those are great. Okay. My last one before we wrap is the thing that I love. We got it last year. We use it for everything, is our Jetboil Genesis stove. So this is like, talk about being cheap. We are Woodland Cade. We don't like to spend money, a ton of money on things, even though we do on some things. I know you like to go cheap on a lot of stuff, and there's other stuff that you splurge on. This is a total splurge, but I'll tell you this, this stove for a couple of reasons is like, I just love it. One, it's a clamshell, so it folds down.
I was gonna say, that's the one that folds, right?
Yeah,
I've seen that.
And we put it into this little bag, and we specifically just got the stove. It comes with like all these pots and pans that go in it as well. Mm-hmm. We just got the stove because it packs down smaller without that other stuff.
Yeah.
And we have a DeWalt box system. We put it in there and it packs away, and it's incredibly small. The other thing that I love about it is that when you open it up, it's not your traditional square design where you have a back, like a windshield that comes up. It has a windshield to it. That's not worth anything. You just throw it away. Right. And get it. It's totally worthless. But so it's open, right? But we cook off our tailgate table in the Jeep, so we have that for a windshield. Yeah. It's open, which means that you can get different sized pans and pots cooking together. Where on our old kind of cheap stove, it was always like one was only half on the burner. Right. So like we can even do, like we have this neat little cast iron grill, like we want to grill steaks, that down, and then still be cooking, you know, sauteing sauce or something next to it. So that's really great. And the third thing that I love about this thing, even though it was ridiculously expensive. I mean, it was for a camp stove. Our first camp stove was like $15 on sale at Fred Meyer. You know, this one was like, I think we got a deal on it. And it was still over $300.
Jeez.
But it's like cooking at home in terms of the flame regulator. Yeah. So like you can, it is so precise. Like you can get down to a simmer. It's just got this, the way it regulates the flame. Our other stove was just like, it's like boiling or cold. It was like scorched or not that's on at all. And this one you can truly, like Kate and I try to be, we try to be like, I don't know, trail foodies. You try to make nice
food. I've seen your videos. You're pretty fancy.
And this this thing allows us to make some food that's actually kind of rivals what we make in our kitchen at home.
That's awesome. Yeah, that's I have a Coleman stove and it is on and off. That's about it. it's not the best. Not the best.
Yeah. And there's other really great stoves out there. I mean, I had got nothing against the cheap ones too. It just depends on like how you want to cook.
Yeah.
There's like Partner Steel makes amazing stoves, and they're actually based in Idaho as well. And there's some other ones that are like, you know, Camp Chefs, and even Coleman's has some really nice stoves. But if you're just, you know, cooking steak or, you know, or whatever you cook,
boiling water.
If you're cooking Mountain House meals and you just need to boil water, then, anyway, so those are some things that we don't use anymore. Some things that we are currently really loving using in terms of our gear setup. We could probably spend the next 3 hours going through piece by piece, all the stuff that's hitting it. So I just want to say thank you, Fletch, for being on, for coming on the channel. I'm going to put your link to your channel down there. I'll put the link to all your social outlets as well, so folks can find you. Let's do this again. This is fun. Let's keep chatting and talking about things that we like and don't like, and other topics that might be interesting to you and I, at least.
Yeah. Sounds good. Perfect. Thanks for having me.
All right. Great. Okay. Thanks, everybody. Be sure to like and subscribe, comment, start a conversation about things that you're not using anymore in the comments, and things that you're loving right now. We'd love to chat. And we'll all jump in. Fletch and I'll jump in and answer any questions that you have, or give you our opinions on your gear or our gear. So do that. And thanks for watching, and we'll see you next time.